Hey there, Legal Tea listeners. This is your host, Jenny Roselle. We're back to the celebrity estate planning topic, and if you happened to listen last week, I mentioned that this week's episode was going to be on George Carlin. Well, I usually work ahead on this podcast, so I don't get myself in a pickle like I'm in right now. I'm sitting here on Friday, April 9th, and I have nothing ready to go for Tuesday's episode when you listen to this. And so I was kind of like, okay, I either need to get an episode thrown together super quickly, which honestly, researching and writing these episodes just doesn't happen quickly ever. So it was either that or I needed to sort of work smarter, not harder. So I chose to do the latter. And if you're a longtime Legal Tea listener, like those that have been following along from the very beginning, you remember that, or you may remember, I did a celebrity estate planning episode on Aretha Franklin. It was literally one of my very first episodes. Well, since that episode released, there have been a lot of major updates in that case. So I figured what I would do is kind of do Aretha's estate again, but just add on what has happened since that episode got released. So, if you are my longtime faithful Legal Tea listener, you can just fast forward until like the last like 5 to 7 minutes of the episode to kind of catch the updates. Though, if you haven't listened to the Aretha Franklin episode, do not fast forward. I do not want you to miss the circus that was her estate. Okay, according to Aretha's Wikipedia page, Aretha canceled a variety of concerts in 2010 to have surgery for a tumor. And in 2011, she continued to cancel various concerts and appearances due to medical treatment. It was not until actually 2013-2014 that she really got back to live performing. Then, in February 2017, Aretha stated that it would be her final year. 2017 would be her final year of touring for her. And then, really the next thing we hear is that mid-2018, Aretha's not doing well and under hospice care at her home in Detroit, Michigan. Then on August 16th, 2018, Aretha Franklin passed away. Now at the time of her passing, it was reported that she passed away without a will. However, according to personalfamilylawyer.com, multiple wills ended up getting discovered after her passing, which ultimately created a pretty big fight between her four children, Clarence, Edward, Ted Jr., and Kelf. The personal family lawyer website perfectly describes this unfortunate situation. Quote, "The legendary singer's haphazard planning has pitted brother against brother, exposed dark family secrets, and lost millions of dollars to the IRS. And perhaps worst of all, while the legendary singer was notoriously private, all of this is played out in the news headlines for the whole world to see." So after Aretha's passing, but before the wills were discovered, Aretha's sons agreed to have their cousin, Sabrina Owens, serve as the estate's executor. So for clarification, Sabrina would have been Aretha's niece. At that point, none of them knew any wills existed. So the estate got filed as what is called an intestate probate court case, which means the person passed away without a will. As part of her role as executor, Sabrina was at Aretha's house getting it cleaned out, and that's when wills, yes, wills, plural, were discovered. According to Our Detroit magazine, two wills were discovered. One was dated in 2010, which was in a locked cabinet, and another one was dated in 2014 and was found on a notebook in her couch cushions. It was about 9 months after the intestate probate case had already been filed. So I'm sure at this moment when Sabrina starts finding all these wills, she probably thought to herself, "What in the absolute heck happens now?" What was crazy was that each will contained different provisions. Like, the 2010 version provided for all four sons in regular allowances and designated Sabrina, her niece, and her son Ted Jr. as executors. However, the 2014 will left her assets to her three youngest sons and left it up to them to distribute to their oldest brother, Clarence. Now, you may be thinking, why? Well, Clarence is special needs and lives in a group home in Detroit. I'm sure Aretha was wanting to protect Clarence's inheritance from, you know, negatively impacting him. So she thought maybe just the boys could just take care of him and take care of his inheritance. Let me say it loud and clear for everyone that there are multiple ways that individuals with special needs can inherit that will not negatively impact them, but still allow you to leave an inheritance to them for their benefit. So Aretha could have done that, and instead, the 2014 will version left everything to her three youngest kids, quote, trusting that they would share it with Clarence. So you remember how I quoted from the personalfamilylawyer.com article earlier that, you know, perfectly really described this unfortunate situation? And how I said all of this really exposed dark family secrets? Well, one of the wills found disclosed something known to barely anyone. Aretha gave birth to Clarence when she was a mere 12 years old. Up until its discovery, it was reported that Clarence's father was a friend of Aretha's named Donald Burke. And actually, one of the wills disclosed that Clarence's father was not Donald Burke. It was a gentleman by the name of Edward Jordan Sr., who is the father of Aretha's second child, Edward. Now, Aretha was not a fan of Edward Jordan Sr., and it's reported that Aretha put in her will, quote, his father, Edward Jordan Sr., should never receive or handle any money or property belonging to Clarence or that Clarence receives, as he has never made any contribution to his welfare, future, or past. Now, between all of this drama, Sabrina, the niece, decided to resign as executor, and I can't say I exactly blame her. And she said that she was doing so because, quote, the family feud is not what Aretha would have wanted for us, end quote. After Sabrina resigned, the court appointed attorney Reginald Turner, who happened to be one of Aretha's friends, actually. And within these court filings regarding the executor role, the judge scheduled a hearing in June of 2020 to really begin the conversation about, you know, whether any of these wills, the 2010 version, the 2014 version, would be valid and govern Aretha's estate. And wouldn't you know, according to personalfamilylawyer.com, another will, a third will, was found. But it was a draft copy and never signed. After the will, after the wills that were prepared by Aretha herself, she had hired an attorney in Detroit in 2017 to help her with estate planning. Though, like I said, it never got finished and never got signed. The contents, however, of the draft copies kind of seem like a combination of what the other wills kind of, you know, would have stated. It stated her estate would equally go to her boys, all four boys, but instead of, you know, trusting the three to take care of Clarence, the oldest, it created a trust for Clarence, the special needs kid, which is exactly what I would have done. Interestingly, there is a law in Michigan that actually sometimes allows a deceased person's intent to be recognized even if the documents are defective in execution. The lawyers for Clarence and Ted wanted that will to be carried through, so they ended up asking the judge to allow it. It got set for a hearing for August 2021 to determine, you know, which one of all these wills that had been discovered, which is going to be the one that stands and be the one that governs, which we'll get into that in 1 minute. But one last thing I want to note about her estate: taxes. According to the Detroit Free Press, it was also discovered that Aretha's estate also owed lots of money in unpaid taxes, interest, and penalties to the tune of nearly like several million dollars. As time passed, the estate started chipping away at the balance owed to the IRS, and then in March of 2021, a settlement was reached with the IRS. At this point, not a single dollar had been distributed to any of the kids. But after this got resolved, the IRS debt got resolved, the kids did end up getting a partial small distribution from the estate. And that was after 3 years of all this battling going on, or 3 years after Aretha had passed away. That was the first time any of them saw a peep of their inheritance. But hey, they were also fighting, so it was kind of partially their fault as well. So, where do we stand today? Well, finally in 2023, after many hearings, jury trials, all the things, it was determined that the couch cushion will was not only valid, but it was the one that would be honored. The couch cushion will. As a reminder, that couch cushion will was the one handwritten and done in 2014. It seems it was the will that was like the most current and signed. So that was the one that, you know, the one that she had an attorney in Detroit prepare. That was the most current, but it never got signed. So now, as a reminder, that handwritten will found in her couch cushion was the one that left things to three of the four kids and did not leave anything to Clarence, the oldest. Though, according to a more recent BBC article that discusses the updated, you know, kind of estate details that I'm going over now, that while Clarence was not part of that 2014 will, it said that he was, quote, not part of the dispute, but that he would, quote, receive an undisclosed percentage of the estate, which was agreed upon in an agreement between Clarence's guardian and his brothers. So that has a little bit of a happy ending. Now, everything else will be divvied up in some way, some fashion between the other three, Edward, Ted Jr., and Kelf. BBC reported that her son Kelf arguably got the, quote, crown jewel of the Aretha's real estate holdings, because according to Aretha's handwritten 2014 will, she wanted him to get her mansion, which in 2018 was estimated to be worth, you know, north of $1 million. So nowadays, probably even more, right? In the BBC article that is linked in the source links, of course, there's a picture of the handwritten will, and you can even see in her handwriting where she writes, you know, some of these, like her property going to Kelf. So it's just kind of cool to see it in writing. But nonetheless, that wish, quote, stood up. Now, one of her other houses was to go to Edward and another to go to Ted Jr. But first, they were neither were really close to that $1 million value of the one that Kelf got. The second one that went to Ted Jr., that was actually ended up getting sold before the estate really got to this point. So his lawyer was requesting that his client get the proceeds from that sale, which according to BBC was around $300,000. In total, just to kind of clear up maybe a little bit of the confusion, Aretha had four houses. So we've talked about three. We talked about the one that Kelf got, talked about the one that Edward got, talked about the one that Ted Jr. was supposed to get, but it got sold. Now there's this fourth house as well. And it is, BBC says it's likely to be sold and it will be split between her sons. Now that one is estimated to also be worth around $1 million. Of course, of all these real estate holdings, she had other stuff too. She had cash, she had personal property, she had investments. And oh, what about her music catalog and her copyrights and royalties and licensing, which who knows how much, you know, that makes her estate actually worth, right? Well, BBC said that the whole music side to her estate has not yet been resolved. It stated that there was a hearing, or a hearing set at least in January of 2024. Though I'm going to kind of guess that has not happened yet. It may have gotten continued because I looked and looked and looked and could not find anything about her music rights yet and what's happening with them. So I just may have to do another one of these update episodes, right? What a mess. Alrighty. I think we're ready to wrap this episode up. Next week, we're back to a cautionary tale episode where we talk about real life clients, real life cases that I or my office have worked on, or maybe they're just kind of generally good things to know and be aware of, so that you, my friend, do not slip up and turn into a cautionary tale on this podcast one day. Always good stuff on those episodes, very practical takeaways on those. But since I barely pulled myself together for this episode, guys, I don't have a sneak peek for next week yet. I'm so sorry, forgive me. So I will talk to you next week about who knows what, but hopefully I don't get myself in a pickle again. But I guess since I'm already in a pickle, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Alrighty, talk to you then. Take care and be well.